Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The text for our meditation this morning is our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5. And this is part of Jesus' very famous Sermon on the Mount. And what he said to us today about being salt and light comes right after the very famous portion called the Beatitudes. You're familiar with this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And so on. Jesus has many more of these blessing statements. And in these statements of blessing, the Beatitudes, he tells us both what our lives are supposed to look like as Christians, and then also what he gives us, what our lives are supposed to look like as Christians, and also what Christ blesses us with. We are supposed to be the ones who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, wanting the things of God, because we know that we don't have these things of God in ourselves and by ourselves. We are supposed to be meek and humble, as Jesus himself is meek and humble and came in great humility, even being born in the manger stall. Jesus tells us how we are to be, but then also tells us what he blesses us with. Blessed are you when you mourn, for you will be comforted. Comforted with the forgiveness of your sins, comforted with the promise of life everlasting in him. We receive so much blessing in him, and we are called to be as he is. And that's what he's telling us today when he tells us that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The salt which salts the earth that needs to be salted, and then the light of the world that shines upon the world that is sitting in deep darkness. What is Jesus talking about when he gives these images? Why does he say these particular things, salt and light, to describe you, his Christians? That's what we're going to be talking about today in the sermon. But the theme of the sermon today is that Jesus calls you salt and light. So be what Jesus has called you to be. Jesus calls you salt and light, so be what Jesus has called you to be. So first we're going to talk about what he means when he says you are the salt of the earth. If you look in the Old Testament, there are many times where we hear salt being mentioned as added to something to just add a little special something to the thing that it's being added to. In Leviticus 2:3, the grain offerings that the people were supposed to be giving to God were always supposed to be salted. In Exodus 30:35, the salt is added to the mixture of the holy incense that was only supposed to be burned in the temple. And then in 2 Kings 2:19 through 22, Elisha, the prophet, performs a miracle, making bitter water sweet by adding salt to it. So if you look at this Old Testament context, you can see these instances where salt is added to something to make it holy, or it has a purifying aspect to it. But then we also just know from our daily lives that you add salt to something and it makes it taste better. We just all know this. Job says this too, so it's in the Bible. Job 6:6 says, "Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt?" So we know this quality that salt adds taste to something, but then also if you think about what the logistics were of getting food to your table in the ancient world, salt is essential as a preservative in the ancient world. We don't think about this too much because we have refrigeration. You don't have to think about salting stuff to make it last for a long time, but that's essential in the ancient world before refrigeration in order for food to be safe, in order for food to be healthy to eat. And the point in all of this is that salt is added to something that needs it in order to make it better. Perhaps even just to make it palatable at all, or maybe even to make it safe to eat at all. And it's the case in what Jesus is talking about that he's saying it's the earth that needs to be salted. It is sinful man that needs to be salted. We need to have something added to us to be palatable to God. We need to have something added to us in order to be preserved and have life. And we know this from the very beginning. Because when God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, what was he without the hand of God? Well, he was just a pile of dust. Nothing. And what was Adam until God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life? He was a lifeless being. So we see that we need something added to us in order to have life, because we are nothing in ourselves. And this is even more so true in our trespasses and sins, as we have all fallen from God, from the sin of Adam and Eve until the sins that each and every one of us commit each and every day. We have all fallen from God and need something added to us in order to be in his presence, because without this thing added to us, we are revolting to God. We cannot stand in his presence. This is what St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. What are we in ourselves? Dead in our trespasses and sins. And then St. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So the Christian, the sinful man, needs something added to him in order to be made holy. And that thing that we need is the blood of Christ. That thing that we need is the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, which wipes away all of our sins. What we need is the Word of God preached to us so that we come to faith through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what we need. The Word of God, repentance, the forgiveness of sins, life in Christ. That's what makes us worth anything. If it was just up to us, like Jesus said, we would just be thrown out into the streets, only being worth the dirt of the ground. But what makes us worth anything is that we have been made something new by Jesus. We have been made new, living, holy children of God. And this is also the other point Jesus wants us to understand today. When we are changed, this also affects the way that we are to be. When we are made the salt of the earth, this affects the way that we treat each other. This affects the way that we interact with one another in our human relationships. This is what St. Paul is getting at in Colossians 4, 6, when he says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." So St. Paul uses this image of salt too, and he uses it to describe how we are to be with one another, to be gracious and merciful and loving in the way that we interact with each other. This salt is the grace of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, the humility of Christ that now lives in you, dwells in you, and then pours out of you. The second image that Jesus gives is that we are the light of the world. If we're honest with ourselves and if we listen to the word of the scripture, we know that by ourselves we are sitting in deep darkness. This is what Isaiah 9:2 says. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. What are we able to do in ourselves? We're just groping around in the darkness, hoping we don't run into anything or stub our toe. But we need light to shine upon us. We need Jesus to shine upon us in order to show us the way of God, in order to show us the way of salvation. And that's what Jesus does, as John proclaims in John chapter 1, 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in this dark, sinful world, and the darkness cannot put out the light of Christ. And then again, Jesus says in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that's the status of each one of us. By ourselves, what are we? Walking in darkness. We need the light of Christ to shine upon us, to show us the way of salvation. And that way of salvation is to believe in Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins in him. And you have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit to have faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is what St. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And that's the point Jesus has been trying to say here. When you've received this new status, where you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, you've been changed by Christ, that also comes with it a call to be the way that he has called you to be. He calls you to be the salt of the earth. He calls you to be the light of the world. He calls you to walk as children of the light. That's what Jesus tells us today. A dangerous trap that the devil always tries to lay for Christians is to try to get us to think that we can have the name of Christ and then at the same time not care about anything that Jesus has to say. That we can have the name of Christ, the name of Christian, and then not care about anything that the Bible says or do anything that the Bible says. This is a great heresy, something that we cannot stand for in the Christian church. St. Paul himself addresses this as well in Romans 6, 1, when he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" You see how the devil can tempt us to come to this conclusion. Hey, I love to sin. Jesus loves to forgive. It seems like it's a pretty good arrangement. Why don't we just keep this going for a while? But St. Paul says that's not what true Christianity is. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And that's what Jesus is saying when he tells us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. If we just continue to go on our own way, following our own sinful passions, following the ways of this sinful world, then we're not being the way that Jesus has called us to be. And Jesus warns against this very strongly. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. If we claim to be Christians and then shamelessly indulge in the sins of the flesh and the sins of our sinful human nature, we've lost the taste of salt that Jesus has made us to be. We're no different than the rest of the world. We're no different than the bland dirt that we were taken from and that we're going to return to one day because the Spirit of God no longer resides in us. Because what Jesus was talking about when he said the salt has lost its taste, St. Paul actually uses that same word in Romans 1:22 when he's talking about people who are completely idolatrous. They receive the gifts of God that come to us in nature, but they don't even acknowledge God. The word is becoming foolish, losing its taste, becoming foolish. It's the same thing that St. Paul and Jesus are talking about here. If we lose our taste, then we fall into idolatry. We completely turn away from Christ and do not walk in his ways anymore. And Jesus urges us not to be this way, but rather to be what he has called us to be. He goes on to say, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, we have to be very clear here. Jesus is not talking about some kind of religion where you just do all these external good works and the whole point of it is that you're just trying to get people to point to you and say how great you are. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. That's the religion of the Pharisees, the hypocrites, who only on the outside do good works, but inwardly do not believe in God. And Jesus says that they do all that they do in order to be seen by others. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. But he's saying, when the light of Christ dwells within you, it will naturally shine out of you. In the way that you interact with your loved ones, in the way that you interact with your neighbors, in your conversations, the light of Christ that leads people to salvation will naturally come out of you when you perform the good works that God has placed in your path each and every day. This is just what will naturally happen for Christians who have the light of Christ living within us. And by the mercy and grace of God, these actions will point people to the Lord. They will see your good works, as Jesus said, and glorify God when you serve them in the love of Christ. They will be pointed to Christ when you tell them about Christ. Then also the other part of what Jesus is talking about here is if we go throughout our life and we prevent the light of Christ from ever shining from us, if we cover up that light and never publicly proclaim Christ or publicly act as if we believe in Christ and show the love of Christ, then that light continues to be put under a bushel until in the end it goes out at all. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Your love of others is a confession of Christ. Your confession of Christ in public confesses him before men, and he will confess you before his Father. And Jesus warns against all of this, thinking that we don't need to acknowledge the way of the Lord and just go our own way. He warns against this a final time when he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." We are saved by grace alone, because Christ has fulfilled the law on our behalf and died in our place. His blood shed on the cross wipes away all of our sins and cleanses us so that we are pure, righteous, and holy in the sight of God. But now that we have been cleansed, now that we have been called to faith in Christ, he teaches us to walk in his ways. He teaches us to walk in his ways to his glory. And dear friends in Christ Jesus, if anything that I was saying today seems like a great burden, like Jesus is saying that you have to go out there and earn your salvation, I don't want you to think that. Rather, listen to what he says when he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He has given you everything that you need. He's given you the forgiveness of sins. He's given you life. He's given you salvation. He gives you his Spirit that dwells within you. The work has been accomplished. The salvation has been accomplished. The forgiveness has been accomplished. Now Christ just dwells within you to be as he has made you, a beloved child of God, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And this comes through him, living within you, dwelling within you, working within you through his Spirit. So continue to cling to him. See him as your only source of life and salvation. until the day when he comes again to take us home to be with himself. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.